Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to be with you, and so good to be with those of you joining us online today. Hey, can we make some noise? Can we welcome in our online Vineyard family? Come on, let's hear it for them. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors, and so every year when this new year begins, I take a little time to pray, take a little time to kind of hear and listen and from God to like, what is a theme for this year for us, for our church? And so this year, we came up with a theme called Thrive. And because God wants you and God wants me to thrive. In fact, Jesus said it like this. You might see a verse coming up on screen. Said this, I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly. He's talking about you and me thriving. That God wants what's best for you. God wants the best for you. God wants you to live your best life. And so throughout the Bible, we see over and over again God inviting us to live this good life. He says, and if you do these things, if you live this way, if you align yourself with the wisdom I have for you, he says, I promise you, you will live an abundant life. And so with that in mind, we're kicking off a brand new series this weekend called The Good Life. Because God is good, he gives us life. We're calling the series The Good Life. And from time to time, God would give people some instructions about how to live this life. In fact, one time he gave them a list. Now, this list, for some of you, even if you've not been to church before, chances are you probably heard of this list. We call it today the Ten Commandments. Somebody going around, oh, come on, PK. I mean, seriously, the Ten Commandments, dude, those things were given 3,000 years ago to people living on the other side of the world, in another nation, another country, a couple millenniums ago. I mean, seriously, come on, Pastor Kevin. What could those things possibly have to do with my life today? Oh, my friends, everything. I can't wait to unpack this with us and how they impact our lives today. In fact, I wanted to turn to somebody right now, look at them and tell them, oh, this is going to be good. Tell them, oh, this is going to be good. This will be good. This will be good. This will be good. So these 10 things, we're going to talk about them. So I'd love for you to do something with me as we get started today. I'd love for you to locate some message notes. Message notes are all virtual. You find them in our Miami Vineyard app. So if you don't have the app downloaded yet, it's a free download. Go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard. Or if you're in the room today, you can scan this QR code in the seat back in front of you. Once you get the app downloaded, tap on This Weekend Message Notes, This Weekend Message Notes, or you can pick up a hard copy of the notes in the back any weekend. You can go back there right now. If you'd rather write them in with pen, the old-fashioned way, you can do that as well. So I want to begin today with the verse that precedes this list, this invitations, these 10 invitations. And it goes like this. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 says this. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So a little backstory. So the nation of Israel, the Israelites, have been in slavery for 400 years back in the day. 400 years they were in slavery. And God sent somebody named Moses to be their deliverer, to set them free. And now they're free. And God says, listen, as you begin this journey of life, he says, I want you to know a couple of things. First, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You didn't do this. Moses didn't do this. I did this. I am that God. I am the one true God. And see, what's so different about that is because the nation of Egypt that they were slaves in, Egypt had over 2,000 gods. They had a god for everything. They had a god for sex. They had a god for the sun. They had a god for the water. They had a god to help them produce crops. They even had god of the cattle. It's interesting to me, as I read through that long list of gods, they did not have a god of cats. You know why. Because cats come from... Anyway. Please, no emails. So, but can I just say, God... God is saying, look, you have been around the nation of Egypt for 400 years. And don't think for a minute that when culture doesn't influence us, culture influences us. And God says, look, I don't want those Egyptian gods influencing you. There is one God and it is me. One person applauded for that. I love that. All right. Here we go. He said, listen, those Egyptian gods are not your gods. I'm your God. So let's start this right. He said, there's one true God. I am your God. But it gets even better. He says, not only is there one God in me, he says, I am the Lord your God. Meaning, I am a personal God. I am your God. And that's been God's heart from the very, very beginning. The very first man, very first woman, Adam and Eve in the Bible, they were walking with God, talking with God. They were in relationship with God. God is a personal God. And then when Jesus came, all these years later, Jesus came. And some of you know a prayer he taught us to pray. Many of you know this prayer, even if you've not been to church before. It starts, our what? Our, yeah. What? So what's up with that? A personal God. God, listen, I'm your father. I'm your friend. God says, I am your God. I am your God. I am not just a God afar off. I am your God. I am a personal God. And there has to be a time in our lives when each of us, when God becomes our God. For me, I was blessed as a child because I grew up in a Christian home. My mom, my dad, I'm not saying they're perfect, but my mom and my dad were followers of Jesus, and they were very clear about it. And it was very true in their lives. They didn't just talk about it. They lived it. And I was very blessed to grow up in a Christian home. But at some point in my life, I had to make a decision that God was going to become my God. Because God just can't be the God of my mom. God can't be the God of my dad. God can't be the God of my grandparents, the God of my abuelo or my abuela. God can't be the God of Pastor Kevin or the God of Pastor Debbie. God has to become our God. And at some point in our lives, all of us have to make that decision where God, I make a choice to say, God is my God. And when that happens, it's a game changer. But God says, look, I am your God. And so God is saying, as we begin this whole journey together, God is saying, look, there's one God, it's me, but I am your God. And God says, look, these 10 commandments, I'm calling them throughout the series 10 invitations, because this is what they are. They're 10 invitations to live your best life, the good life. They're 10 invites, 10 invitations. And God says, look, I'm your God. I love you. I know you. I'm giving you 10 invitations on how to live this life and how to make the best of this life. So here's the first one. Here's number one. Commandment number one. I'm calling it invitation number one. Here it is. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. You see, here's the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. God says, so here's the invitation. If I could put it in other words, put me first. God says, put me first. God says, if you do, you'll never regret it. You will never regret it if you put me first. And can I tell you from personal experience, it is so true. In my life, it is so true. And not just my life. In the thousands and thousands of people's lives. And what I love about this church is you can come to this church from any background, with any belief, any lifestyle. You can walk in the doors of this church and we welcome you. I love that. And so many people come to this church that have not had an experience with God before. And they walk in these doors and they experience God and they just discovering God. And then they start saying, wow, I want to put God first in my life. And then the changes that happen in their life and the stories they tell me week after week after week after week after week, you can see the changes. When we put God first in our life, you have such contentment. You have such peace. You have a different level of confidence. So what does that look like to put God first, all right? What does this look like? This invitation, what does this look like practically in my life? So what I did today for the first invitation, first commandment, I've just taken the word first, F-I-R-S-T, and I just made them represent something. So here we go. What does this look like? Practically, what does this look like? And there will be a test at the end. All right, so here we go. How do I put God first? And I just thought, so F-I-R-S-T, I just thought we'd start with the toughest one right at the beginning. Here we go, letter F. God says, put me first in your finances. Listen, God cares about your finances. He does. He cares about your finances. And God says, look, I want you to do well. I want you to be blessed. I want you to live the good life. So here's what God says when it comes to money, comes to finances. God says, I want you to recognize and release. Recognize and release. First, what does recognize mean? God says, I want you to recognize where it all comes from. All right. Let's say that you are the owner of a suite condo on Miami Beach. And let's say you come to me and you say, hey, Pastor Kevin, I'm going to be going out of town for 3 months, and I'd like you to stay at my beach house. It has a beautiful view of the ocean, it's got a pool, and I just want somebody to take care of it while I'm gone. And I say, great. And you say, so while I'm gone, I want you to do 3 things, right? I want you to water the plants, feed the cats, pick up the mail. I said I'll do 2, but not 3. And so you say, look, you just manage the house while I'm gone, right? And I say, great. So you go away for 3 months, you come back, and you're ready to move back in, but I'm not ready to move out. I say, I happen to like my bed now. My car is parked in my garage now, and I like the view from my living room. Now, it would be really presumptuous of me to have that kind of conversation when you come back from 3 weeks, because you just loaned this to me. But you know what? We do this with God all the time. Everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we have is just on loan to us from God. Everything. Everything. And you're going, whoa, time out there, preacher boy. I worked for this. I busted my butt for this. Okay. God says, who gave you the breath in your lungs? Who gave you the every beat of your heart? God said, I did. And look what this next verse says in your outlines. If we start thinking to ourselves, I did this, and all by myself, I'm rich, it's all mine. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth. So God says, look, put me first in your finances. So recognize and release. Recognize, release. Recognize God owns it all. And then release. And God says, look, I know money is a big deal to every single person on the planet. It's a big deal. And God says, I don't want it to be like a thing in your life that has a grip on you. God says, I want it to just be a tool that you just use. And God says, here's the best way you can honor me. God says, so everything belongs to me. And God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that first part, and I want you to give it back to me. God says, look, use some to live on, pay the bills, buy the gas, buy the groceries, go to school, go on vacation. But you, before you do any of that, take the very first part and give it to me. Now, we talked about this in the month of February with a series we did called Freed Up. By the way, if you want to go back and you weren't part of that series Freed Up, you can go to YouTube, go to our website, you can watch that series Freed Up. But we said this in that series about us as a church, and every we talk about money, this is something we want from you, this is something we want for you. And what we want for you is to live your life in a way where God is blessing your life and honoring your life, and we're putting God first. So the Bible calls this first part a tithe, 10%. We bring that 10% back to God. And I encouraged you in that series to take the 90-day tithe challenge, where you say, for 90 days, I'm going to give that first part back to God, that first 10%. That if 10% is not $10. 10% is 10%. So if I earn $1,000, $100 goes to God. If I earn $2,000, $200 goes back to God. And many of you took God up on that challenge, and I just want to encourage you, for those of you who took God up on that challenge, continue, keep it going. God bless you if you've taken God up on that challenge. Because look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 14:23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to what? To always what? Put God first in your lives. That's what God says. That's why it's there. To put God first. Those of you honoring God with the first 10%, God bless you. Look, I know it's not easy. I had a conversation with somebody just the other day who took God up on this challenge, this first 10 challenge. And she said, Pastor Kevin, Every time I give God that 10%, she said, "I'm nervous." Look, I get it. I totally get it. It is, it's nerve-wracking. But I want to tell you, trust God, trust God, trust God, and see what God is going to do in your life. So we put God first. Letter F, letter F. We put God first in our finances. So here's letter I. F-I-R-S-T, right? Here's letter I. Letter I stands for interests. Interest. That means your fun times, your play times, your amusements, your hobbies. Look what it says. Whatever you do, do it for God's glory. So, what does this mean? Interest, interest. Does this mean I got to put God first when I go on vacation? I heard one person. Yes. Yes! It means all of life. I'm putting God first in all of life. All my life, I'm going to put God first. Put God first. It includes everything. Everything. See, I think sometimes, you know, we live our lives, right? And we say, I love you. But God, I'll put you first in these five things. But this thing, God, you stay in the car. God, I'll be over here. But God says, look, God says, I want to be in your life. I want to be in all your life. I want to be in your life. I want to be have this first place in your life. So interest, things we do, our hobbies, all the stuff we do. So letter F is finance. Letter I is interest. Letter R, F-I-R-S-T. Letter R stands for relationships. Put God first in your relationships. How many of you agree with me that relationships are sometimes complicated? Anybody? Come on, let me see your hands. Sometimes complicated. Yeah, if your hands aren't up, you're lying. If you're with us online right now, just put in the chat, it's complicated. They're complicated. Relationships are not easy. I will be married to my wife, Debbie, for 38 years this July. 38 years. And can I tell you, even when you're married to the very best woman in the world, as I am, it is still complicated. It is not easy. Relationships are hard. They're not easy. And so here's what Jesus told us to do in relationships. Jesus said, "For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others." You know what he's saying? He's simply saying this: hey, look out for other people. Don't just spend all your life thinking about yourself and what's in it for me. He said, think about other people. Think about other people. And then serve other people. That's what he's talking about. Think about other people. Serve other people. Because when we do that, it makes all the difference in the world. Think about how it would make a difference in our world, in the world of politics, if we thought about the other side and not just the side we're in. It'd change everything. When we think about other people, it changes everything. We think about other people in politics. Think about other people at the workplace. Think about other our neighbors. Think about other people at school. Think about the other person in marriage. So let me give you an example of what this might look like in marriage. It's Saturday night, Sunday morning, okay, here at the Vineyard. You're getting ready to come to church. Let me ask you a question. Is there someone in your family who's never quite ready on time and always running late? Would anybody know anybody like that? Yeah, don't look at them right now. Come on, you're in church. I mean, but if you're with us online right now, just go ahead and put their name in the chat. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But we all know, right? We all know. Somebody tends to run late. So here's what this verse is talking about. Here's one. Think about the other person. Serve the other person. So what I'm saying here. So when we serve the other person, it means this. It means you don't back out of the driveway until they have both legs in the car. Okay, that's all I'm talking about. That's all I'm talking about. A couple years ago, we did a series about people. It was a powerful series, but we said this in that series. We will never meet another person who is not created in the image of God. Never. You will never lock eyes with another person who's not created in the image of God. Now, I realize, not everybody acts like it, but everybody is created in the image of God. And when we can see people, we call it imago Dei, that the image, imago Dei, the Latin phrase that the image of God, Dei meaning God, and imago, the image, is it within every one of us. Every one of us is made the image of God. And when we see that in people, it can make all the difference in the world. Love people. Think about people and serve people. That's how you put them first in relationships. So, F-I-R, finances, interest, relationships. Here comes the S and the T. We're putting God first this weekend. How do I put God first? God's giving us an invitation to if we live life like this, life is going to be better. Here's letter S. Put Him first in our schedule. Our schedule. What I'm talking about, putting God first in our time. The Bible says it like this. Make the best use of your time. Grasp firmly what you know to be the will of the Lord. There was so much we could talk about in this. We've talked about this for days. But let me just say this. How do we do that? Okay, let me offer you just one thing. When your day begins, I want to invite you, give God the first 10 minutes of your day. We call it here first and 10. Take the first 10 minutes and give them to God. The first 10 minutes of your day. Before you look at your phone, before you look at all the notifications, before you all these things just start coming in, all right, what do you do? So, Pastor, okay. If I take 10 minutes, I spend it with God, what do I do? Okay, let me help you out. Let me just tell you what I do. Okay, I keep it really simple. And what do I do is this. I start out and I just read a little bit in the Bible. What do you read? Because, I mean, look at this book. It's a big, thick book. There's no pictures or anything. I mean, what do you do with this thing? All right, there's a lot in this. So what we've done for you is we've given you some spots to read every day. If you notice, if you have those message notes out or open, you'll see at the bottom of the message notes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And what we're doing is we're tracking, we're reading through the New Testament of the Bible this year. And if you track with us, you'll read through the whole New Testament of the Bible in 1 year. It's not a lot, it's just a little bit every day. If you skip a day, you skip a day, no big deal, life goes on. So you read a little bit. And when I read the Bible, I read it as if God was speaking to me. And I say, God, what do you want? What do you want to say to me? What are you telling me out of this? And look, there are days when I read it and I'm going, I don't know what you're telling me. It's okay. It's okay. Life goes on. But there will be many, many days when God will speak something to you out of what you're reading. So I'll read a little bit. And then I'll just have a little conversation with God. It's not complicated. I'll talk about my day. I'll talk about people. I'll talk about things I'm nervous about or stressed about or big things I got coming up or big decisions I got to make or whatever. And I talk to God as I'm talking to a friend. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know why people feel they got to get all spiritual, like hyper spiritual when you talk to God. Like, oh, Heavenly Father, oh, thou goddest. I mean, what is God's up in heaven going, I don't even know what you're talking about. You ever hear somebody pray and they turn on their prayer voice? It's like, who was that? Like, I was just talking. Listen, just talk to God like you're talking to a friend. And look, I know, look, if you're just starting out, I know sometimes it's awkward. I get it. You feel like, am I talking to anybody? If anybody hears me, they think I lost my mind. I'm talking to the ceiling. Listen, I know it feels awkward in the beginning, but I'm telling you, if you will press on, if you will press through, you'll begin to establish a relationship with God. And in the midst of this, don't just make it one-way communication. Shut up for a time and listen. Just listen to God. Just stop talking and listen. Because God will whisper things. He'll give you thoughts. He'll give you ideas. You know one of my best times with God? For me, I'm not saying you have to do this for you, but for me, some of my best times with God is when I go for a jog, when I go for a run. And I run 6 days a week. And I just run. And I don't have any headsets on. I got nothing on. It's just me and the air and my thoughts. And I can't tell you how many ideas I get from God when I'm going for a run. This whole idea of Thrive for this new year, I got it when I was out for a run. Just I felt that God was saying things to me and talking to me while I was out for a run, thoughts and ideas. So whatever works for you. Some of you, it's back to nature. Some of you, it's whatever. But can I encourage you to put God first in your schedule and just see what happens. Give God your time. Give God your time. So F-I-R-S-T, right? We got finances. Letter I. What's letter I? Interest. Letter R. Letter S. All right, here we go. Letter T. Anybody want to guess T? I heard it. Troubles. Put God first in your troubles. You're going, whoa, 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 whoa. Time out there, Pastor Kevin. I thought when I put God first, I wouldn't have any troubles. Right. Right. So you're going, Pastor Kevin, how do I put God first in my troubles? You know how? Here's how. You look for God in the midst of them. Look for God in the midst of them. Because God is there. He sees you. He knows you. And He is there in the midst of them. I know sometimes we're in the midst of trouble and you're wondering, God is nowhere to be found. I'm telling you, He is. He's right there in the midst of them. And some of you, you came tonight to just hear these words. Because you've got a lot of stuff going on in your life right now. You've got multiple, almost consider what might be crisis happening in your life right now. And you're going, where is God? He's right there. He's right there in the midst of your troubles. So look for God in the midst of your troubles because He's right there. See, God's not in our lives to do away with troubles. He's in our lives to make sure we have a powerful response to those troubles. Because there will be times when God will supernaturally move and the troubles will divide, the troubles will go away, the troubles will disappear, but there are other times when they will not. But that doesn't mean that God left you because God is there in the midst of our troubles. He's right there, He's right there, He's right there. You know what troubles do for us? Here's what troubles do for us. A crisis, trouble, whatever you want to call it. A crisis never leaves you where it found you. Never. A crisis never leaves you where it found you. You're either going to be better because of it, or you're going to be bitter because of it. The difference is the letter I. I make all the difference. What is my choice going to be in the midst of that crisis? So I got a friend who, he lost, went through a very difficult financial time. He lost his house, then he lost his job, and he had a couple of kids, and it was a massive crisis in his life. And so I talked to him. Through the crisis, and then I talked to him about the other side of the crisis. Now, this crisis went on for a couple of years. This was not just overnight. He was walking through this for a couple of years. And 2 years after he lost his house and he lost his job, and in the midst of it, he didn't know what he was going to do. It's not like he had this perfect, response. He was trying to see God. He was trying to follow God. I was praying with him, walking him through it. But 2 years later, he came back to me. He said, Pastor Kevin, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But he said, but Pastor Kevin, I didn't tell you everything up front. He said, I was chasing the money. I was chasing the dream. He said, I was neglecting my family. I was neglecting my kids. But when this crisis happened, when I lost my home and I lost my job, he said, it put me back to where I needed to be. He said, I started prioritizing my wife. I started prioritizing my kids. I started prioritizing God. He said, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. He said, but it is the best thing that ever happened to me because now my life is where my life should be. My life is together. My life is centered on God, and that's where it needs to be. That's putting God first in your life. Can God take a crisis in our life and do that to us and have us come out that side? Absolutely, He can. And He will, if we honor Him, and if we put Him first. This whole first commandment is an invitation to put me first. That's the whole first commandment, an invitation to put me first. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me for just a moment? And so as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed right now, just for a minute, we're just connecting with God for a second. Online with us right now, if you're able to do this and join us as well at this time. God, thank you for what you do in our lives. God, thank you for this invitation we have from you tonight. God, thank you for loving us. God, thank you that you are not some God who's far off, but that you are God who sees us. You are God who knows us. And you are a God who wants to be first in our lives, in all spaces and all places. And today, God, we say to you, we want you to be first. And so I just want to invite you right now, just in your own space, in your own world, you and God right now, nobody else, just you and God. I just want to invite you right now, just for a moment. Is there any space in your life or something maybe God was even highlighting to you while we were going through this message tonight? Or just a moment in your life where you're saying, you know what, Pastor Kevin? I need to put God first here. If there's anything like that in your life right now, just that God is just highlighting right now for you, just tell him. Just say, God, I'm sorry I didn't have you first here. God, tonight I'm putting you first here. And tonight I'm putting you first here. Maybe there's 2-3 areas where just right now you just know that God has not been first. And because of this first commandment, because of this invitation, you were saying to God right now, God, I want to put you first. God, I want to put you first. Maybe just take a moment right now and say, God, I want to put you first in this. Whatever this is, God, I want to put you first in this. We talked about the areas of finances. We talked about the areas of interests. We talked about areas of relationships and schedule and troubles. God, I want to put you first. We also talked about this tonight. God says, I am not just a God. I want to be your God. And if there's never been a moment of your life where you've connected to God in a personal way, then I want to invite you to do that right here, right now, in this space. You don't have to stand up. You don't got to lift a hand. You don't got to walk to the front. But in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if this is what you want to say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I just don't want to know about you. I want to know you. So I'm going to pray a prayer. You just follow me inside. Just follow me inside. So God, tonight, I believe you're real. I believe you're alive. I believe you love me. And God, I want to say yes to you. Tonight, well, I've known about you. But tonight, I want to know you personally. I want you to be my God. And so tonight, God, I say yes to you. I open up my life. I open up my heart. And I say yes to you tonight. So God, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives tonight. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week. And thanks again for listening.